Just another 5 minutes and then we'll start the meeting. Another 5 minutes at 20 past. It's Gisela again. Just to say that the at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the INA function will be in 5 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. Interpreters ready on your buzzers? Could I ask members of the INA Issues Working Group to come back to the table? Yeah, I think everyone's here. So start the recording, please. Good afternoon again, everyone, with apologies for the delayed start to the at-large ad hoc working group on the transition of U.S. government stewardship of the INA function. We were scheduled for 90 minutes on this topic. We've already had a lot of discussions on the INA issues earlier this afternoon, first with the Address Supporting Organization, Address Council and Number Resource Organization, but then also with the INA Coordination Group and the various members of the INA Coordination Group. So by now, having had an afternoon of INA issues, we should be quite well kitted out to be able to formulate our strategy during this meeting, which unfortunately will have a hard stop at 18:30, which is in 18:25. Oh dear, okay. So in exactly 60 minutes from now. Now, the agenda reads as follows. First, a feedback from our ICG members. I think we've already had much feedback from our ICG members so far. Perhaps feedback on what we've heard and in the meeting with the ICG. And then the bulk part of our discussion will be based on the formulation of a proposal, our discussion on our strategy for the ALAC proposal, identification of issues, our main goals, perhaps conflict management, and also obviously looking at all times at the end user perspective. And so we can start with, I don't see Mohammed at the table. He was here somewhere. But we have Jean-Jacques Subrena, so let us find out from Jean-Jacques and his feedback regarding the previous sessions this afternoon. Jean-Jacques, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. This is Jean-Jacques Subrena. I have a question first, Olivier. What I have to say is really at a high level, concluding remarks, as it were, the way forward for our working group. So do you want me to talk about this now? Okay. So several points. I think that this has been an interesting day, including at the ALAC plus GAC meeting, where we had some input also. And, of course, the most important for us on this subject was the meeting with the numbers, etc., and then with the ICG representatives. Now, this is what I take away from the day so far. Several points. First of all, in constructing our contribution, we will have to be very selective. By selective, I mean we don't want to make a catalogue, a shopping list of things we want in the transition plan. I think that our approach should be as follows. We have to make a list of things we think are important from the point of view of the global internet user. That is really what will make the difference between our approach and the approach of other contributors. And as you can imagine, there will be proposals from all over the place. So probably others will be better situated or perhaps more inspired to talk about certain subjects. So what will really make a difference is that if we concentrate on those issues where we can bring added value. So I think that is really the important point, to think in terms of our contribution as bringing added value. The second thing I'd like to touch upon is that During the meeting with the ICG chair and some other members, the question was put whether there was still this notion of two categories of contributors. On the one hand, the operational communities, and that was called in the earlier speeches, contributions, and then the rest from the rest of the community, which was input. And the reply from the chair of the ICG was that there was no longer categories. Obviously, for well-known reasons, there would be some considerations of a purely technical nature coming from certain parts, but that all input or all contributions would be regarded in the same way. I think this is an important point, and we should take note of it, and it should be well transcribed into our report of today's meetings. But while I say this, I think this should give us confidence in our drafting, both in the choice of themes or topics we want to touch upon, but also the way we treat it. It must be treated with realism, but also with self-confidence on the part of the ALEC. And my last remark is about timing or the timeline. There were discussions in various areas of ICANN today about the possibility or the probability of a slight shift in the timeline. But as I said already today in another meeting, I think it is our duty, and certainly the interest of the communities we represent, to start from the assumption or the guiding line that there will be no change in the timeline. We have to work towards that. If there is a major problem, not because of ALEC, by the way, but for some other reason, which would appear, let's say, in the spring or the summer of 2015, fine, we'll deal with that when we come to it. But we don't foresee that. And I would like to underline very clearly here that I think it is really in the interest of everyone, both the ICG, but also ALEC as a contributor, to respect that timeline. So I'd be willing to answer questions or remarks, but this is really the high-level takeaway that I have for today's meetings. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. Olivier speaking. And before I open the floor to questions or comments, I just wanted to let you know that Heidi is taking notes about our discussion, so we will have not only the transcript of this session, but also Heidi's notes. I wonder whether anyone else would volunteer to also take independent notes, perhaps so as to have two different sources and being able to then put them together. Sometimes in those discussions, we tend to miss a few words and a few things. Vanda? Heidi lets me know she got everything. I got it. Okay, excellent. Well, you got everything, but Vanda will also be taking notes. That's great. Thank you very much, Vanda Scottizzini. So now you might have everything. Vanda will also get some. I have it too? Okay, where do I have it? I haven't got anything.
In your Skype.
Okay. Oh. I can't read my Skype anymore. It's just all red. Okay, well, we now have the queue. I saw first Tijani Benjamin and then Fatima Cambanero. So first, Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. Jean-Jacques, you are very optimistic because...
Tijani, your headphones are too close to the microphone. Go ahead, Tijani.
Yes,
sorry.
I'm sorry. So I think that Jean-Jacques was optimistic because he said that Elisa answered well the question and said that there is no difference between the proposals. She said that, but she said that they think and they pursue that the proposals has to come from the operational parties. This is the way they see it. So it is more or less the same thing. the position doesn't change. They think that the proposals has to come from the naming entities, from the EUTF, and from the numbering parties. Everyone is able to give inputs, but what is the meaning of inputs? This is the problem.
Thank you, Tijani. In response to this, Jean-Jacques, and then Narelle Clark also. Oh, okay, so Narelle Clark, you have the floor, since it's specific responses, and then I'll come to you afterwards, Fatima.
Thank you, Olivia and Tijani. I wanted to reinforce that it is certainly my view on the ICG, as an ICG member, that we will hear proposals from anybody. We will. But what we do want ultimately to get to is consensus, and we would really like to see the communities come through with a strong consensus beforehand. Or you know, I realise this is and possibly a nirvana. I realise that, but we need to see the communities work through the issues, identify the issues, and bring them through to a new place, you know, a post-transition situation. And so if people try earnestly to work within the communities and find that it is not working for them, then we will also look at the level of consensus that is seen to be operating in each of those groups and make some sort of assessment of that. And where we see groups being intransigent, we will ask them to... Well, my expectation is that we will be asking them to look at it again. You know, that's what as Alyssa called it, was a ping-pong process where things go back to the groups, comes forward. So I just wanted to reassure you that certainly, at least for this member of the ICG, and it is a view I think is shared, and I'm confident that that view is shared across the group, that we will hear dissenting views and we will hear proposals from people outside the community. But what we want to see is consensus.
Thank you very much for this, Narelle Clark. Jean-Jacques, did you want to add to this? No, we'll go back to our
queue. Yes, I'd be glad to, but maybe there's another comment or question on the same aspect. I don't know.
Thank you, Jean-Jacques. Let's go over to Fatima Cambronero. And will that be in Spanish or in English, Fatima?
Yes, sorry, in Spanish is very
Spanish, late. Okay. So please all put your headsets on. Please give us a second.
Habla Fatima for this is Fatima for the record. Thanks, Olivia. I'd like to thank Jean-Jacques, as I've been doing ever since we started working together, because he's very clear when he explains his ideas and tells what is happening. I fully agree with what you said earlier on about this summary of the three items, and I would go to item two, which was also taken up by Tijani. And I also understood that we, as another community and not an operational community, may make some contributions, not comments. And from that point of view, I think this is the time now that we are all here face to face. We should at least make a list of the issues we would like to include and start working on them, because if we are going to take at large opinions to the other communities, in our case, it's going to be tougher because we'll have to work twofold. If we want to make a contribution, we'll have to make a contribution. After that, we'll have to participate in other processes with the opinion and the position of at large. I'd like this to happen because many explanations have been heard throughout these days on what the process is like, what the status is and what we might do. And I think we should start working right now on something which is a substantial proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Fatima. And perhaps we should start with drafting a charter for this. No, I'm kidding. Let's not go into process. Let's cut straight to the discussion and the actual content. Jean-Jacques Subrena.
Thank you, Olivier. This is Jean-Jacques. Having listened to Tijani, Narelle, and Fatima, I'd like to say this. This reinforces, I think, what I said earlier. It is by being selective on the topics we want to take up, of course, the quality of our arguments, but also we should feel completely confident. I think that there was a time for ambiguity, perhaps doubts about the different categories of contribution, but I think we should not dwell in that mental state. We have to go forward and consider that we are entitled to do it. So we have to do the very best. So I think that one of the first things, Mr. Chair, would be really to narrow down on the number of subjects or which you think are really crucial as representing a value added from the user community.
Thank you very much for this, Jean-Jacques. Next is Alan Greenberg.
Well, I like the way the discussion is going, because my intervention, if it hadn't been for a few up until now, was let's stop talking about process and let's get down to substance. Remember, for the IANA transfer, there are three components. There's IETF, addressing, you know, protocol numbers, IP numbers, to be blunt, but there are other ones also, I know, and names. If we have something substantive to say on numbers, on either of the numbers, then it is going to have to be us who says it. So that perhaps should be a focus, a parallel focus to what I'm going to say next, but a focus. On names, I'm presuming we will not be putting in a proposal unless we vehemently disagree with what's coming out of the CWG on the same subject and want to counter what the rest of us says. But we're part of that us. We cannot forget the fact that we are part of one of the three who is allowed to submit proposals. So I think we need to start identifying what is it we want to say on the numbers issues, and is there anything we want to say on the numbers issues where we are so unique that we don't think the groups that manage those things are going to say it? And there may well be. I haven't thought of one, but maybe someone will. And then on the name, how are we going to start contributing on the composite ICANN contribution to the ICG on names? We have five formal representatives in that group. We have a potentially infinite number of participants. And what is it that we want to say, or how do we want that to see that direction going? Hopefully we will not have to submit anything directly to the ICG on names, because we will be a vocal and persuasive part of that community, of the CWG. But let's start identifying that. The CWG is going to start meeting soon, and what do we have to say there?
Thank you very much for this, Alan. Fatima? Okay, that's an old card. So what I would suggest then, as you very well suggested, Alan, is that we start with, I guess, perhaps the portions which we might have less things to say at this very moment, and that's the names, the IP addresses and the protocols. And to go around the table, and basically brainstorm and first make a list of all of the points which we think we might be wishing to address, and then narrow them down as per Jean-Jacques' suggestion. And this is just a case of brainstorming. So come up with the point that you think we should be addressing. I've got the list of working group members here, but others are also invited to contribute. I think we can open the work group up to those present around the table and further in the room. And I was going to put Eduardo on the spot, who is holding his head at this time of the day, but Eduardo, you might have a few points. So addresses,
thank
IP
you.
Addresses, and protocols.
This is Eduardo for the record. I was suggesting also, I wasn't thinking about IP addresses, but I think there is a major thing that we should brainstorm, and it's the issue that we have been talking about almost all day, about accountability, what happens, you know, where are we going to be accountable for? Everything that we have heard the whole day is we don't know. But we don't see, brainstorming and say, this might happen or this might not happen. And I will think that that will be a very brainstorming than IPN and numbers. I don't know. I don't have anything to say for IPN numbers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eduardo. I wasn't pointing at you. I was pointing at the flip charts that are behind you. For some reason, they are remaining from previous moments. I wonder whether we could have someone on a flip chart or bring a flip chart forward and maybe put these points into this. We're putting a number of staff into action here. Maybe someone will volunteer to hold the pen on the flip chart. Alan Greenberg?
Thank you for clarity. I thought this session is on the IANA stewardship issues, not the accountability. Is that correct? Are we a free-for-all?
No, that's correct. You're absolutely correct, Alan. But I think that Eduardo was speaking about accountability specifically with regards to the IANA stewardship. The point is that yesterday we were in the cross-community working group, and one of the participants provided details of the fact that at the moment we're dealing with this contract between ICANN and the U.S. Department of Commerce. And that introduces a whole set of accountability mechanisms and so on that are ingrained inside the contract, the number of clauses and so on. And what we have to look at is when that contract goes away, which it will, there will be no more contract, then what happens? And certainly the accountability issues relating to that, I think, are what Eduardo is speaking about. You look perplexed, Alan.
I guess I just took his comments a different way.
So back to you, Eduardo. Expand a little bit on this, please, so as to convince Alan of your righteousness.
This is a wonderful record. It's the question about, if this NTI transition goes through, what happens if it doesn't work? Does it go back? Who do we get accountable to? Because it didn't work. How does it get fixed or something like that? That question is there, and everybody's saying, we don't know yet. We know it's there. It's part of the accountability. That has to do specifically with the transition. But we need to do some brainstorming and come up with some ideas and write them down and pass it around so we can start a substance to this transition. Because all the meeting that we have with the CWG was more about procedures and this and that. And basically, I felt when I came out of that meeting that really nothing happened.
Eduardo, it's Olivier speaking. Just to hone in on what you just said, what happens if things don't work? Do you mean what happens if a proposal doesn't get drafted in time? Or do you mean what happens once the transition has taken place? If something goes wrong, what happens?
It's the second, this is a word for record, the second part. Let's say the proposal goes through. I say, okay, I can, this is yours, and something goes out of whack. What happens?
Okay, so I gather then what you're looking at is post-transition safeguards. Yeah. Okay, so that's the first word that will magically appear on the flip chart. Deshani Benjema, you're next.
Thank you, Tijani speaking. As Alan said, our contribution regarding the naming function would go through the cross-community working group. And I hope it will be transmitted through this working group. Otherwise, it will be a separate submission. And as Elisa said, they are looking for consensus, so it will complicate the situation. Also, regarding the name, the numbering function, as Adiel said, they have put a page as Naralo to work on the issue. And the contribution of the community is welcome. So I think that also we have to work with them. I was looking for working with the Afrinic, but on the mailing list there was nothing. But they said, he said that they have their contribution on the Nauru page. Let's go there and see. And I think that we have to work also with the Nauru. And if it is possible, we contribute there so that the submission will be will have the consensus rather than have our own submission and Elisa will try to find the consensus, etc.
Yeah, thank you for this contribution, Tajani. I think that you mean the NRO. I don't know. From here it heard as Nauru, and I looked at Evan, and he didn't feel quite concerned about this. So the NRO, yes. The question, though, you've mentioned here the process by which we should go and touch on these issues. In other words, go and get involved with the NRO. But what should we tell them? What is the topic? What springs in your mind? What should we be touching on?
I understand. That's another thing. It is exactly the same as with the cross-community working group. It is the same. For the naming function or for the numbering function, it is the same. We try to work with them to have our contribution with them, but for sure we have before think about the issue and try to have our point of view.
Thank you, Tijani. Now's the time, so we'll get back to you in a moment. On the list at the moment, I have Holly Reich, then Alan Greenberg, then Sion Ojedeji. Oh, was there Vanda before? Vanda and then Sion. Go ahead, Holly.
To start with, I'm going to repeat what I said today, which is essentially I don't think any of us, or maybe some of us, are not fully qualified to understand the technology. I think what we could all agree on is the need for measurable performance indicators that will indicate something is or isn't working. Performance metrics that have been measured and are published. Some description of what happens if something goes skew-if. In other words, you're probably looking at a risk management type matrix.
So perhaps could we just put these on the flip chart? I think these are okay. These are very valid points. So insisting for what
performance metrics that are published regularly. Probably response strategies. I was actually thinking of a risk management
matrix,
so that you've identified, you know, the usual, which is of little consequence, major importance, minor importance, whatever, and then the likelihood in between the matrix, then you know what it is that you really have to watch out for and field in as to what the responses are, whose responsibility they are. I mean, that's the way I actually see. I'm not sure we do it, but us looking at what somebody else does, I think those are the things we look for.
Yeah, we would. It's Olivia speaking. We would have to ask for these to be part of the proposals for post-transition. So risk management matrix, MATRIX, and also performance metrics. No, the performance metrics remains as metrics, but the risk management goes into matrix, MATRIX. Yeah, that's the Australian accent for you. Oh dear, I've got a lot of Australians here. Oh, that's French. That obviously is. Okay, next is Vanda Scottazzini. No, sorry. Alan, I'm really sorry. I missed you. Sorry, Alan is... And then Vanda.
Alan Greenberg speaking. He's just trying to forget me. Couple of things. A lot of what Holly mentioned is the status quo. So, you know, we're not. I'm not fighting with you. I'm just saying is the status quo. So clearly something we would want to see is that whoever takes over the IANA function commits to doing at least what we're doing right now and perhaps more. So that's easy to define at some level. The optimal contribution that we can make, that we should make, is nothing. If what's coming out of the three organizations, as we look at their evolving, and I hope we'll be watching them as they evolve, is something that we say, yep, looks good, then we don't need to make any special contributions. And of course, on the names part, we're part of the we, so we should be contributing to that. If you listen to our good friend Mr. Strickling yesterday, he is clearly presuming that the recipient of this final responsibility will be ICANN. Not all of the people on the ICG agree with that, but that's that's sort of his assumption. If that is the case, then some of what Eduardo was talking about is a situation where IANA, ICANN's employees, are not doing what ICANN has committed to philosophically, if not legally, and that's an employee management issue. The ICANN going rogue and giving bad instructions to IANA is what the accountability and governance track will be looking at. So if we are working towards an outcome, which I would hope we are, where we are recommending that ICANN be the recipient of the IANA responsibilities, there certainly are people in the CWG who would agree with it and probably a few who disagree, then I don't think we need to worry heavily about those levels of details. If we believe, for instance, that ICANN should be the ultimate recipient of it, then we need to find a way to say that and feed that into the names group. Although we fought hard to be able to make a contribution under any term and under any name, our better target, our optimal target, is not to have to. So I think we need to make we need to start recognizing what it is we're going to be happy with that the numbers organizations come up with. How do we recognize happiness? And what are the overall parameters that we're looking for in someone to manage the root zone?
Okay, thank you, Alan. So I guess I've taken 2 points from here. How do we recognize happiness? And the second one, well, no, it's important, how, or satisfaction, or I'm not sure what we would call it, but how do we recognize how we're satisfied by the proposals? And the second one is confidence in managing the root zone. Was that confidence in managing the root zone. These are two issues which we would be pointing at. We now have Shion Ojedeji.
Thank you, Olivia. Shion for the transcript record. I just want to make 2 comments. In relation to the NRO site, I think what the NRO site currently contains is majorly the IRA governance matrix, which has been released on the NRO site. And perhaps what could be useful, or maybe a point of recommendation for this working group, could be that we make it as a task to study the matrix to kind of understand how the IR processes work. However, I don't think that doesn't necessarily indicate currently, as at the last time I checked, which was yesterday, what is on the website of the NRO does not actually indicate how the IRRs intend to globally collect and develop the contributions from the regional communities into a single proposal. So there's really no clear, and by the way, I need to also mention that this was also raised in the last IRM meeting, which held a few days ago in Baltimore, and the response that John, who is the CEO of IRM, mentioned indicated was that they were going to release that process soon. But the reality at the moment is that there's no process yet on how the NRO intends to turn the contributions from each region into a single proposal. So the second comment I'd like to make is in response to Tijan. I think I also agree with Tijan. The names side of this thing is we're already part of it, so we don't need to develop any concurrent process for that. And however, the challenge with the numbers, and that is where the naming is different from the numbers, is that the numbers word is not as global. It's not on the global level like we're doing this is cross-community working group. On the numbers world right now, what we are doing is we are discussing in different silos. So it will be difficult to get this working group, for instance, to globally to send a communication directly. Who are we sending to? Are we sending the communication to? Are we sending our interest to our observation to AFRINIC, for instance? Are we sending it to ARIN, for instance? That is the problem. And perhaps maybe one of the things that we'll be asking the NRO to provide us is for them to tell us what is the means by which this working group at large can contribute. We should formally ask them, because it looks like so that they know that we are interested. What is the means by which ATLAC can formally contribute globally to the IRR proposal? Thank you.
Sean, thank you for these observations. The unfortunate thing, we had a meeting with the NRO earlier this afternoon. I unfortunately didn't see you in the room. We covered that, actually.
Okay.
We also covered afterwards with a meeting with the ICG. This sounds to me like process again. And we're trying to focus on the points we want to raise, as in for our own proposals to the end process. I invite you to perhaps listen to the recordings of the earlier sessions this afternoon. There was a specific part when we spoke with Adil Aplogan, who provided us with details of how the different proposals of the different RIRs were going to come together. I don't think we should interfere with the way that they're going to run their process.
Okay, I'm sorry, Olivier, and I cannot apologize for not attending that. It's because I have, as a fellow, I have some obligations, other meetings I needed to attend. However, I think, it's fine for us to list the points out here. How does the point make any difference? That's why I think it's important to understand what is going on within the IRR community. I don't know whether it has been discussed extensively, but I think while we are developing our own points, how do we feed it into that process they're doing? That is the point.
Thank you, Sean. Yeah, briefly, we just feed it in through the RIRs, through our involvement in the different RIR communities, and that on the one hand, and then on the other hand, of course, through the numbers, so through the protocols, through the IETF mailing list. That has been covered a bit earlier this afternoon, but that's fine. I mean, this is a very valid point, and we raised the point a bit early on this.
Yeah, just to qualify, so our statement here, whatever it is that we'll get, we'll send it to the five RIRs. That's what it means, right?
So two ways. First, it's Olivier speaking. On the one hand, we participate as individuals into the different mailing lists and come back and forth in actually building the proposals of these operation communities. But what we're working on at the moment is to see if we want to have our own contribution in addition to the contributions from the operational communities coming into the ICG, directly into the ICG. So this is the brainstorming is about what are the points that are strong and that are dear to the at-large community, to internet end users. What do we need to have in those final proposals? And we've also been told that it's not just a one-shot process. The first process is the initial contributions, and there's very likely to be some going back and forth and therefore having a second shot and modifications to the initial contributions that will have been made. So, okay, next is Vanda Scartesini. Vanda, you have the floor.
Okay. Thank you, Vanda, for the record. What I'm trying to raise here is some kind of assumptions that we need to have from the new solution that we're going to guarantee addresses in a balanced way, no cost. Remember when we start discussing IPv6, IPv4, IPv6, and a lot of things raise the rent, how much we're going to ask for payment and blah, blah. So we decide in that time that we're going to see the same first distribution, and then we did that. But this is past. Next 2 years, 3 years, we're going to need another slot of IPv6. And we need some assumptions that we need to have same equal balance, no cost distribution. That's my point to put in that decision to guarantee that we're going to, and this is for us users.
Okay, thank you very much for this, Vanda. So I take it from your comment here, we would wish to insist on having a guarantee for no cost being passed on to users in the future for something that's provided at no cost today. Is that correct?
Yeah, and now it's mostly the balance that will make the same fair distribution of addresses around the world. That's because we did that. But some time ago, nobody's talking. It's going to change the environment. Someone will take place and take the lead. We're going to need to discuss again. Could be very interesting to have some assumptions that this will follow the same kind of balance and fair distribution around the world.
Okay, thank you for this, Vanda. So I translate this as being a continuity in allocation of IP address policy, IP address distribution policy.
Fairness, maybe.
Alan, for this specific point, Alan Greenberg.
Yeah, thank you. Alan Greenberg speaking. On the issue of being distributed free to the user community, that's a local RIR decision. Just because they get it free doesn't mean it has to be free coming out.
I think we're speaking here more like fairness in the number of addresses.
I thought there were two issues. One was free to the user. One was fair distribution among.
Yeah, so okay. Free to the user, I guess, is not something we can pursue.
Sorry.
Because I've paid for IP addresses. So I don't think IP addresses are free per se. Fairness is the one.
May I continue? Thank you. I am assuming that currently IANA distributes addresses based on the policy set by the regional, agreed to by all five regional registries. I would be completely floored over if that was not part of the requirement that they're going to put into the transfer. So, although I agree with the sentiment, I'm not expecting that to have that to be an opposing position.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. The question was from Holly was, isn't that something that we are looking for, that there would be no change to this policy? So continuity of allocation of IP addresses, and I don't know what, and fairness, and no change to current policy, which seems to be the.
I don't know if we can suggest no change for the future, because it's far away. My point is just keep the equal and the fairness distribution around the world. That's the main point. We cannot give one country that is not using internet yet, a small island, they will be not have the same opportunity. That's the point.
Okay, thank you for this. So I think that the two here somehow capture the spirit, continuity of allocation of IP address and fairness. Just making sure the second one also has IP somewhere on the sentence or just before the bullet point, so we know it denotes it's directly regarding IP addresses. On the list, I have next Fatima Cambronero and then Tijani Benchema. So, Fatima, you have the floor.
Gracias. Thank you, Olivier. Fatima, for the record.
At that time, we started talking about the parameter of protocols and IP direction. The first brainstorming is about that, or is about name, numbers, and parameter of protocol?
Yeah, thank you for this, Fatima. It's Olivier speaking. I think we first felt we could do first IP addresses, then protocols, then parameters. But looking at the board, it looks like we have actually a mix of everything, and it probably is better time-wise that we actually mix everything. And so we have several pages that we can take from there, and then we'll just reorder them afterwards. So did you have any suggestions to make on any of the other, IP protocols or addresses?
No, not for now. I am organizing my mind now.
Okay, keep on organizing. Are you running V6? Tijani Benjema, as long as you don't run out of addresses in your mind, that's fine. Tijani, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. Tijani speaking. First of all, I would like to thank very much Sean for his contribution because he's young, he's a fellow, he has commitment with the fellowship program people, and yet he come here and he contribute. He also contribute on the list. He is a member of this working group. So, thank you very much, and please continue to contribute. Even if you don't have all the information, please continue. This is very, very important for us. Now, coming back to the substance, I think that Alan touched the heart of the question. We are speaking about the transition of the IANA functions stewardship. We know the transition is from whom, but we don't know to whom. And this is the question. And Alan said that more likely it will be to ICANN itself. It could be this ICANN itself, and it could be this alternative. But in this case, the accountability becomes very, very important. Otherwise, ICANN will be the one who do everything without any oversight, any accountability mechanisms.
Thank you, Tijani. And I gather that this point was made in relation to the names, not the IP addresses and not the protocols, because I definitely cannot see the IP addresses or the protocols agreeing to being subjected to accountability through ICANN. I can really tell you that, judging from the discussions on those mailing lists.
Yeah, and this is worse, because in this case there will be ICANN for the naming function and other thing for the numbering and for the protocols. This it will be dislocation of the IANA function.
Yeah, Tijani, it's Olivier speaking. It's that's what is there now at the moment. The oversight has some aspect to it, but from what we've heard earlier, it appears that both the names, the IP addresses and the protocol are quite happy with their own accountability processes. Tijani?
I do understand that, but don't think that the NTIA oversight is not over the numbering and the protocol functions. There wasn't any problem, any complaint, any problem in the oversight. But they have this power of overseeing the three functions. Now, if you say that ICANN will be in charge of the function of naming only, it will be very, very dangerous. And I don't think it is the good way to go forward.
OK, Okay, thank you, Tijani. I have a queue at the moment with Shona Jedeji, Jimmy Schultz, and then Eduardo Diaz. Oh, no, Eduardo, you've put your... Were you in the queue? Okay, yeah, keep your card up so I can catch up. Tijani Benjamin. Sorry, not Tijani. Shona Jedeji.
Thank you, Shona Jedeji, for the transcript record. I'd like to make some clarification, some points in relation to the numbers community. At least I happen to be quite involved in the numbers world, and I love the processes in the numbers world. It's very, very organized. In fact, when I started joining ICANN, those who have been seeing my mails then, you see that it's strange because it was quite strange to me how complex the names world was, because it was the numbers world was quite organized. We had a PDP, we followed the policy development process. Everything is organized. So I don't think there's going to be any major problem with numbers. However, I think this working group wants to ensure that what is currently working in numbers is maintained. In terms of the PDP, policy development process, and most especially the GPDP, that is the global policy development process, which is what actually concerns ICANN. I've had the opportunity to read those documents a couple of times. And I think there's one bottleneck on that document. And the bottleneck on that document is the fact that whenever there is any disagreement on, I'm saying if, because it hasn't happened, there's any disagreement on a particular policy, a global policy, the final decision lies on ICANN. So maybe going forward, we may want to ask for a clear resolution process that makes sure that the final decision lies on the IIR community. So maybe that could be one of the things we want to watch out for, so that we don't get boxed in by the ICANN board or ICANN management. Also, in terms of the GPDP, yes, I like to agree with Van that it does not need to remain the way it is. It can be improved. However, we want to highlight that whatever improvement that is made on the GPDP should actually further ensure that, should be towards ensuring that the community's view or the community's further involvement in the decision making is upheld, because that is what it has been. We, the community, develop the policies in numbers world, and all what NRO does is to follow through the processes and then deliver what we have agreed to by consensus through the ASO. So these are the two things. The first thing is that the GPDP policy should be maintained, and if there's a need to improve on it, it should be to the advantage of the community involvement. The second thing is to improve the resolution process, review the resolution process such that the final decision lies on the NRO or the names, the numbers community. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Sean. What I've captured from here is mainly two main things. Keep the processes that work for IP addresses identical. So don't change them. And the other one, need for a clear resolution process that makes sure the final position rests with the RIR community rather than going back to ICANN in any way. Did you want to add something, Louis? We have Louis Lee, chair of the ASO Address Council.
Hi, just real quick. I want to provide some clarity on the global policy proposal, global development process.
GPDP, is that the one?
Yes, yes.
GPDP, okay.
GPDP. In that the when the proposal is put in front of the ICANN board, at that point, since it's already been so well vetted around the world in all the communities, the board is just looking at fiduciary type issues with the policy. They're not evaluating whether the policy is good or not, because that discussion has already happened. They want to just make sure that it doesn't cause undue burden on IANA. They want to make sure that the policy has gone through the process correctly, met all the timelines, such things of that nature. So if they see an issue, they will send that back down with their concerns. But it's not really a matter of them looking at the policy itself, and I'm not sure if that helps clarify things.
That does, Louis. Thank you. Okay. It's Olivier speaking. But would this remain post-transition?
We believe so, yes.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, thank you. Shion, and we're just running out of time. I still have a queue. I think I've closed the queue for the time being. I know I've got Jimmy. I've got Jimmy Schultz, and there were some others. Anyway, Jimmy, go ahead. And Eduardo, of course. Go ahead, Shion, just one last quick. That was, in response.
Okay, I'm aware of the process. And what I'm just saying is, whether we like it or not, or whether we want to face the fact is that ICANN board approves policies, right? That is the fact. I'm not saying we've not experienced a situation whereby they rejected a global policy. But what if they do? What if they say no? That's what I'm saying. We are entering a regime where there is no shock absorber. Let me use that word. We need to look at the what ifs and consider how to provide some backup plan for the rescue. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for this, Sean. I was told that Vanda was next. I thought it was Jimmy that was next. Jimmy, so Alan, I'm afraid you've missed the cue. Next message. Okay. Fair enough.
This is Jimmy Schultz.
Jimmy Schultz, go ahead.
Yeah, Jimmy Schultz speaking, and I'd like to come back to what Tijani and Alan touched. We might end up with ICANN in the final decision, and we don't know yet, but it seems very likely to go that way. But I think, and I'd like to add to what Tijani said, there must be some control there. And this control, and there is a proven concept since centuries how to control power, and that is by separation of powers into three separate powers. And this has been proven since the French Revolution to be a quite good concept. So maybe we should think about that we separate the powers to, the ICANN is doing this stuff, the executive. Someone probably outside the ICANN will control it. And if anything goes wrong, there is a court where they can go to. Maybe this is a way we could approach that.
So thank you, Jimmy. So what you're proposing is to keep an umbrella or something.
There's an oversight, a democratic oversight or multi-stakeholder oversight.
Thank you for this, Jimmy. Aren't we creating a new ICANN at that point? Yes. So we're doing another ICANN to provide oversight over functions which are, it's a possibility, but let's put it down on there as well. So creation of another body. Another oversight body is your suggestion on this. This is a brainstorming, so we have to put all the points on there. Next, I've got a blank list after that. Eduardo Diaz, I think, was after Jimmy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Eduardo, for the record. I just wanted to comment on what Tijani said about what things are there between the non-perine and IPs. And I remember during the what's his name? How was I going here? I got it here. Mr. Guy, the gentleman here from the IATF,
Yariako.
Yariako. Jerry, yes, that, you know, I asked him this when he put the how you call it, the presentation here, that they had, there is an agreement between IETF and ICANN or the NTIA. I asked him, you know, is this something with the NTIA? He said, no, we don't have any agreements with the U.S. government. So what I'm trying to say is that that infrastructure that is there, I don't think it's going to change. And he talked about appealing processes and stuff like that is already in place for things when they don't go the right way. So I feel comfortable about that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Eduardo. I can't focus on the discussion anymore. I think we have another meeting that's supposed to take place right now. It's all recorded. We've got a flip chart here. We've made some progress today. It was a little short, and we're starting to get into it. But what I ask you is to perhaps continue on this length. Think about further points that you would like to see on the flip chart, and then email them over to staff, and we'll make a full list of them. It's a good start. I think we've got quite a few points here that we want to touch on. Certainly, the performance metrics and the response strategies and all these are important. I was going to touch on another issue, which was the file which was sent by Jordan Carter to the naming issues discussion, looking at the structural potential structural separation scenarios, but that is in the INA Issues Working Group mailing list, and so I encourage you to have a look at those. It's quite an interesting document which looks at different scenarios for basically separating INA and sort of breaking it apart into several pieces and things, but that's it. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks very much for this, and I would like to thank the interpreters, thank, of course, our staff, and this session is now adjourned. Thank you.
If I may, Gisela here, as we have a closed meeting taking place now in this room, if I could just ask everyone if we could leave the room, please. Thank you, except the chairs of the RALOs who will be staying. Thank you very much, and see you all tomorrow.